Good morning and welcome, Gaelic, this morning in the house of God. We pray that God will bless us as we fellowship together. A very special welcome to Pastor John Taylor. We welcome him. Thank him for his help in the years that's passed, and long association with the church here. So we just pray that the Lord will bless him today as he opens up the scriptures and ministers to you today. If you are listening on screen, we welcome you as well to tune in with our fellowship together in the Lord's name. I'm going to commence with 402 in the hymn book. If you're using the hymn book, it'll be on the screen. 402, there will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. Lovely words, a lovely thought, just to think that the Lord left glory and came just to Calvary for me. Let's stand when we get the introduction. Thank you. Thank you for that good singing. Let's now just still our hearts and settle our hearts as we come into the house of God and into his presence, that we might know his blessing on us today as we fellowship together. Heavenly Father, we thank you already. We sing of your love, our Father. Wonderful love that ever you left the glory, Lord. Realize it's when we sing, it's humanly speaking, we cannot understand it, Lord. We just ask today, Lord, that you'll bring that to our attention, our Father, that God in his love and his mercy looked upon me, came down from the glory into Calvary's cross, paid that price and for our redemption. And so, Lord, we've asked you today, our Father, as we fellowship together, that we may know your blessing, our Father. Especially pray for those who cannot be here today, Lord, as well, Lord. May our brother Brian Gibson, Lord, today, our Father, unwell, we ask, oh God, again, that you'll just bless Brian today and Lois. And we ask for others, Lord, shut in their own homes today as well, our Father. Many and varied and different needs. We ask, oh God, that you'll minister to them and bless them richly, our Father, whatever their need is. But today, our Father, we ask, Lord, for your servant, Lord. Thank you for Pastor John amongst us today, our Father. We just ask, Lord, that he might know the unction of the Spirit, the blessing of God as he opens up the Scriptures. Expounds to us. Thank thee for him, our Father. Thank thee for his long association, for his help here in the church. We ask today, our Father, this will be no exception, Lord, that he will know and sense your presence as he ministers the word of God to us. Thank thee for the word of God, our Father. Help us, our Father, to redeem it, our Father. Help us to respect it, our Father. Help us to love it, our Father. Help us, our Father, just to obey it, O God. That we ask today, our Father, that word might have that desired effect in all of our lives, our Father. Why that be a word of encouragement, a word of rebuke, a word of blessing, Lord. We ask today, our Father, and take it as from the Lord. So we do thank thee for the scriptures, Lord. Thank thee for them in our mother tongue. And so, our God, today we just simply ask, Lord, come amongst us in all your risen power. May this time be a hallowed hour. And so, our God, we ask today, our Father, again, as we would just gather that little time around the table, Lord. Lord, just deliver us from routine, our Father. Deliver us, our Father, just something that we do at the end of the service, our Father. But let us may realize again what the Lord Jesus Christ paid, what he did, what he came for to redeem my soul. And so, our Father, we want to return you thanks, Lord, for ever coming and dying the death, paying that price for our redemption. Who just blesses us, we fellowship around your table today, our Father, and just bless us. The gospel this evening, Lord, we simply ask, O God, again, that you'll just, in a very real way, come to one or two, maybe in the meeting, you know not Christ. Thank you already for the girls and boys and the little children, Lord, and the Bible class they have met, our Father. And we just ask if there would be one or two in the little ones, our Father, who haven't come to that simple trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that soon and very soon they would know the help of the Spirit, Lord. Come to the age of understanding when they realize that the time to receive. Seek the Lord while they may be found and call upon him while he was near. Thank you for the children, Lord. And we ask today, our Father, as they go home with your word, Lord, realize we've witnessed many over the years saved by the grace of God. We ask today that that might continue in hearts and in life, Lord. We long to see souls saved, Lord. Realize the soon coming Savior, soon you're coming back, our Father. The day of opportunity will be over. So just speak to hearts today, Lord. Burden souls, our Father. May they hear your word, our Father. For those outside of the family and fold of grace today, may this be a red letter day. They'll come and simply put their trust in thee. So just continue with us now and just bless us as we fellowship together in our Savior's name. Amen. Okay, but girls and boys, you want to go up to the front? Pardon me. Gary's going to come and speak to you. You come up to the front and occupy these two rows, and Gary will come and speak to you. Thank you, Gary.
So this morning, boys and girls, really good to see you all up here. So this morning I'm going to talk about alarms, okay? I don't know anything about alarms now, so it's not as if I sell them or anything or know anything about them, but this came to me and I want to talk about alarms now. I have this alarm here, and let's see if anybody knows what it is. Now, earlier on, Nigel was saying to John, there's something chirping in here. So anybody know what that is? Put your hand up if you know what it is. What is it? It's a fire alarm, right? So do you have one of them in your... Everybody have one of them in their house, do they? Well, it turned off. It was chirping earlier on the entrance hall, and Nigel was asking John, there's something chirping around here. It was my alarm in my bag, so I had to hide it in there. So that's a fire alarm. Okay. So what other type of alarms are there? Can anybody tell me any other types of alarms? In this church, there's a smoke alarm. It's going to chirp now. Just ignore it. It's going to chirp for a while. So there's smoke alarm, and that means that if there's smoke but not a fire, then the alarm goes off. And then there's a CO2 alarm. What you see is one of these here. Okay. Oh my. Anybody know what one of these does? No? What's that do? Do you know what it does? No? So see if you've got a gas fire. Okay. So if you've got a gas fire, there might be no smoke and there might be no flames, but you could all be getting gas because you're a gas fire. So when that chirps, then you have to get out of the room, okay? So then another alarm I was thinking about is there's a burglar alarm, okay? And a burglar alarm is if somebody breaks into your house, it goes off. And then another one I had thought of was a phone alarm. In the morning, maybe it wakes you up. So Those are some different alarms. So does anybody know if the fire alarm goes off in the church? Put your hand up if you know what you do. What do you do if the fire alarm goes off in the church? Put your hand up. Anybody know? No? Yes, what do? Get a fire accident. Where is the fire accident? Anybody know? Over there, you see? It's like a fire drill. So you all run out that door where the wee green signs are if the fire goes off, okay? And if the CO2 alarm goes off, which is the gas one, what do you think you do? You get out quick, don't you? Because you're getting gassed, so you have to get out quick. Now, anybody got a burglar alarm in their house? Do you know? No? When your mum or dad go in, you type the wee number in? No, when they go in? Yep, you've got one. So, if you were lying in bed and the burglar alarm went off, what would you do? Does anybody know? So, I had thought of a few things, right? So, number one, you might ring the... First of all, you got to check whether it's a false alarm or not, obviously. You know, so if it's not a false alarm, you might phone the police, mightn't you? Right? That's one thing I thought of. And if you've got a big dog, right, you let the big dog out and it chases him. And this is what I have, you see, this is my number three. I have this here, you see. Now, this is just to scare them. I wouldn't really be using it. So I just get that out, you see. And then you hope they run off, you see, and then that's the end. Now, so those are all different alarms, right? And the definition of danger is an anxious awareness of danger. Okay, that's what the definition is. So I was thinking about, what does the Bible say about alarms? Are there some alarms in the Bible? There's not any alarms like these in the Bible, but there are a few verses that I suppose are about alarm, right? And one of them is in, the first one is in Joel 2, verse 1. It says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm, for the day of the Lord comes." So that's an alarm in the Bible, for the day of the Lord comes. So they're all different types of alarms. Now, here's another one, and it's in Genesis 6, verse 3, and it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Now, that's a big verse, and it's quite a complicated verse, but you know what what that's saying is that, say you were going to Sunday school, and you weren't a Christian, you were thinking, you know, maybe I should become a Christian. And from what you heard in Sunday school or from searchers or from some meeting you were at or even from what your mom and dad said, you were thinking, I really maybe should become a Christian. Well, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you and saying to you, you should become a Christian. But what that verse says is that it's not guaranteed that the Spirit of the Lord will continue to challenge you about being a Christian. Maybe at some stage it'll stop and you'll have lost your chance. So really, it's encouraging boys and girls or mums and dads that, you know, if you're being challenged by the Spirit that you should become a Christian, you should do it now and not hold off. Now, another one that we've got is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Now, what that verse, it sounds a strange verse, but what that's about is that it says that the Lord's going to return to the Lord, and we all know the Lord's going to return, but it says he's going to come back in a twinkling of an eye. Does anybody know what a twinkling of an eye is? No? It's like, say you blink. Do you see how quickly, if you blink your eyes like that, see how quickly that is? Well, that's how quickly the Lord's going to return. There's going to be no one's going to know it's going to happen. It's going to suddenly happen. It's going to happen like that there. And what that verse is all about is that when that happens, if you're a Christian, you'll go up to heaven if you're a Christian. But what it also says is, just like out there when it happens, if you're not a Christian, you'll be left behind. So if you're a boy or a girl here this morning, or a mom and dad, then, and you're not a Christian, then like in the twinkling of an eye, if he returns, you'll be left behind. So that's another verse, another alarm verse to tell you that you really need to become a Christian now. Because if your brothers or sisters are Christians, your mom and dad are Christians, your granny and granda, and you're not, and he returns, and he could return at any minute, in a twinkling an eye, just like that, and you're not a Christian, then you'll be left behind. So it's really important, an alarm, that you really put your trust in him now, and you don't delay. Okay, thanks very much, boys and girls, for listening. And go back to your seats. Thank you.
church notice. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Welcome this morning as well. Thank you, Gary, for that children's talk, Paul. I'm not sure whether we can claim that as an official fire drill or not. Just one clarification, if it goes off, we don't run out the door, we walk nice and calmly out the door, okay? Just in case you sort of feel, so we'll walk nice and calmly. But thank you, Gary, for the talk this morning. But again, kind of welcome you. It's good to also have our brother, Pastor Taylor, with us this morning. Don't want to make him sound too old, but we do have a long association with him here in the fellowship, but he was very young whenever we first came across him. So right back to the days of the Slavic Gospel Association, and then many different times through the years, and we've really appreciated his ministry on every occasion, so we thank him for coming along today. Latter part of service, wait behind. Remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread. If you're saved and you're seeking to walk with him, we encourage you to wait behind and remember him with us this morning. Could ask the members if they could just wait behind for a short time after the table this morning, please. Then 6 o'clock this evening, we have a time of prayer. 6:30 is our gospel service. The singers this evening are the Kingdom Heirs, and Pastor Taylor will be back to preach the gospel this evening. Then after the gospel service, youth fellowship meet. Their subject is A Leopard Can't Change Its Spots, and Another One Bites the Dust. So that's an interesting title for the young people tonight, so please pray for that. I encourage young people to come along. Also, in parallel with that, we each time the youth fellowship meet, we seek to have a time of prayer for the young people and also for the pastoral vacancy. So please wait behind this evening to pray with us. Then Wednesday night, 6:45, searchers are back on after the half-term break. 8 p.m. in the evening, a Bible study and prayer meeting. And the speaker again is Paul McCreary. Now, we've had really two good really meetings with Paul, so if you're free, please come out. You'll benefit from that on Wednesday evening. Then Thursday in the morning, 10:30, Tiny Tots are back on again. Then Saturday evening, the Youth Fellowship are meeting again. They're having a sports and challenge night. That's in the multi-purpose hall, and that's from 8 to 10 p.m. So that's Saturday evening coming. Then next Lord's Day, 10:15, the Sunday School and the Bible class. Serves 11:30 and 6:30, always preceded by the times of prayer, and the speaker all day is our brother Martin Thompson. Then just one or two advance notices. The monthly meeting of the Ladies' Fellowship, that's planned for Tuesday the 27th at 8 p.m., and ladies will be studying the Shunammite woman from 2 Kings, so ladies, please keep that in mind. Also the same week, Wednesday night, Callum Webster will be along to give us an update on the work of the Christian Institute. And then the Sunday of that week will be our Spring Missionary Sunday, and that's the third, and that will be taken by ACRI and the Society for Distributing the Hebrew Scriptures. I think that's all the announcements this morning, always made subject to the Lord's will.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Continue to worship God in 366 in the hymn book, 366, I am redeemed, O praise the Lord, my soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. It'll be on the screen, so we'll stand, we'll get the introduction. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. It's great to be redeemed, isn't it? Thanks to Brian for his very gracious words of welcome this morning. I suppose we do go back a long, long time, but still, it's always nice to come back again. And I don't need Brian to remind me of my age, because this morning, as I sat with my wife, she said to me, "John, I was thinking about this." I says, "Kristen, it's dangerous what you think." And she said, "Lord spares you to June, you'll be a pensioner." And I thought, "What?" She says, "You'll be a pensioner in June." Thank the Lord, of 4 months yet to go. So it's one thing to rejoice in. But turn with me today to the Word of God, to a lovely psalm, Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37, we're going to read together from verse 1. And keep your Bible open, and we'll leave a few verses out, and then we'll come back to it again near the end of the chapter. So Psalm 37, often referred to as the reflections of an old man who has walked with God, a man who learned many lessons during that time, and he's sharing with us some of those things in this psalm. So Psalm 37 verse 1 says this: "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Go down to verse 23, and let's pick up the reading again. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Amen. God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Let's just bow for a moment quietly as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity afforded to us to read your word publicly together. We recognize that there are many lands across the world where that privilege would not be extended to other believers in Christ. So we feel deeply privileged that we can come and meet together on another Lord's Day morning, that we can read your word, we can meditate upon it, and hear what God the Lord might say to us. And Father, we pray that you will help us as we think about your word. We pray that you would grant us the help of God the Holy Spirit, so that the preacher and people alike might know the blessing of God upon them just now. Father, we've all come through a different week. We've all had to cope with many different things. We just pray that you will help us and lift us far above the circumstances that we're facing just now, and minister to us individually and collectively, we humbly pray. Grant us your help. We ask it all in the Saviour's name and for his sake and glory. Amen. Amen. The psalmist David here is sharing with us what we might call the reflections of an old man. In other words, David has seen so much throughout his lifetime, and in many of the psalms that we have recorded for us, he shows us time and time again of the many things in life that he, as an individual, had to cope with and things that he had to come through in life. If you and I were as David was on this occasion, looking back over the years, there may be many different things that you and I would think about. For David, it was quite simple, because David would look back and he would remember the many trials that he had to come through in life. Unfortunately, as Christians, trials are part and parcel of our Christian walk. And David did many of them. As an old man looking back, he would think of the many trials in his life that he had to come through. He'd remember times when he had been on the run from Saul, and we all know about that relationship that he had with King Saul. He would remember the times when he was on the run from Absalom, and those were difficult times too, where Absalom sought to take David's throne. He'd remember times when he was away from God, and you and I don't need to go into that whole story today, but David, like us, had his ups and downs, and there were times when he walked well with God. There were other times when he allowed temptations to take him to a place where he should never have been. And of course, we know the tragic story of David and Bathsheba. There were many good things about David's life, and somehow it's this relationship with David and Bathsheba that we always come to mind. And David, like us, had tragedies too, because as a result of his adultery with Bathsheba, we know that they lost their son, and the time would come when David would lose another son, his son Absalom. And David thought about that, and he cried out, "Oh, my son Absalom, would to God I had died in your place." And David knew what it was to suffer and to come through difficulties in his life. Now, that doesn't mean to say that David's life was filled with trials and temptations and tragedy, because David had times of great blessing in his life as he walked with God. And I'm sure that if you had a sat down with David, he would have talked about many things, and he would have talked about the blessings that God had bestowed upon him. But here in this psalm, David uses a very interesting little phrase that I want to bring to your attention this morning. Look at what he says here in Psalm 37, verse 4. He says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Delight thyself also in the Lord. The truth is, at times in the Christian life, we might find that there are very little things for us to delight ourselves in. And we look out at the world in which we live, and sometimes we get overwhelmed by everything that's happening in our world. And when we do that, we lose our focus, we get our eyes off God, and we find it very hard to delight in anything. We become overwhelmed by circumstances, we lose sight of God. We find it hard to get up in the morning. We find it hard to keep pressing on, especially when times of doubt and difficulty come. So I'm going to give you today some things that you and I can delight ourselves in. In fact, there are six of them, but we'll maybe not do the six. It just depends how that time goes this morning. But first of all, I want you to remember that God's love is eternal. That God's love is eternal. And you and I can delight ourselves today in God's eternal love. We've been singing about love already this morning in the hymns, and they were a great choice for us. But you know, God loves each one of us today, whoever we are, and whatever the stage we find ourselves in life, and whatever we're going through, you remember today that God loves you. And God will always love you because we're loved with an everlasting love. We can never doubt the love of God, which we've been singing about. And when we come to the Word of God and we read John 3:16, for example, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that God loves us. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian. And you're saying to yourself, well, you know, that's all right for you to talk like that, but nobody loves me. Is that why you're not a Christian? Because you feel that nobody loves you? I want to tell you today, if you're not a Christian, listen. God loves you, and God loved you so much. He sent his Son into the world to die on an old rugged cross that you might be saved. And if you and I were to take a look at Calvary today, that's the greatest demonstration of love that you and I could ever see. God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as a babe into Bethlehem's manger, grew up amongst men in this world in which we live today, and they took him and they nailed him to an old rugged cross. And here's the thing about that. Not only was it all in the plan and purpose of God, but Christ died for us. Christ died for us. The Son of God loved me. He gave himself for me. If you're not a Christian today, I want you to remember that. That when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on that old rugged cross, he was there dealing with your sin, bearing your sorrow, doing for you what you could never do for yourself. For he loved you so much, he was willing to die in your place. But maybe you're a Christian this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I know that. And I'm so thankful for that, and I'm glad today to be redeemed. I love those words we have just been singing, but sometimes it's tough. And sometimes I get discouraged, and sometimes in the providence of God, he brings me through circumstances that I don't understand, and sometimes I doubt his love. A child of God, never doubt his love. He loves you with an everlasting love. And today he knows about you. He knows about the things in life that can rob you of your peace. He knows about those things that can cause your faith to falter. He knows when you feel like losing hope and giving up and letting your faith go to the wall because you just can't take any more in your experience of life. That's where you are today. I just want to remind you, the love that God has for you is eternal. He can't love you any more than he does, and he'll never love you any less. And if this morning you're struggling as a believer, delight yourself in God's eternal love. Just a number of weeks ago, I went to visit a lady who was dying. She knew she was dying. I knew she was dying, but we didn't know when. That's the thing about death. We know we're all going to die, but we don't know when, and we don't know how or how soon. But this lady had not been well, and I'd been in to see her, and we were talking together, and she couldn't really talk very much, but this day she seemed to be quite bright, and she said to me, "Do you know something," she says, "Pastor, that encourages me?" I said, "No." She says, "Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me." See, we often think about those words in terms of the children's hymn. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then we go on and we say, little ones, to him belong. If you're a child of God today, it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, you belong to him. And not only do you belong to him, but you know what? He loves you with an everlasting love. As that lady and I went on, I said to her, you know, not only does Jesus love you, but you're loved with an everlasting love. And this lady in her early 90s turned around and she began to sing. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Sitting around the bedside, we sang that hymn together. There wasn't a word, but I'm sure some of them weren't correct, but they were meaningful. And she was overwhelmed by the fact that she was loved with everlasting love. And then I read to her from Romans 8, those closing verses, we're reminded that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God and Christ. I said, you're going to heaven. Then we began to talk about heaven, and then we sang again, what a day that will be. And I wanted to get the visit over because I couldn't sing anymore. But isn't it great today to know that you're going to heaven? You're loved with everlasting love, and absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Today, child of God, if the going's tough, you remember that God's love is eternal, and you're loved with everlasting love. Here's the second thing. Remember today that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Remember Paul, the great apostle, the man who teaches us so much about the local church and about evangelism and so many other things. Remember how on one occasion Paul had this vision and he speaks about it, but not enough for us to know exactly what happened. Then God gave to him a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. And Paul was finding it difficult with that thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is. I've heard preachers speak about what they thought it was, but the Bible doesn't tell us, and that's enough. But here's this great servant of God, and he finds himself in a place where three times he cries out to God and he says, take this from me. But God didn't take his thorn in the flesh away. Instead, he says to Paul, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Child of God, you and I are not immune to everything that's happening in our world today, and sometimes it's tough. The elders will know, and those in Christian work will know, that sometimes you go to see some of the most godly saints and you sit with them, and they're in the midst of great discouragement. And times for all of us can be tough. It can be discouraging. We can feel like giving up. We can find ourselves in the depth of despair. How do we cope? Well, sometimes like Paul, we pray and we say, Lord, I've had enough of this. Lord, will you remove this? Lord, will you change this? Sometimes an answer to prayer God does. Sometimes God doesn't. But he says to your heart and mind today, listen, whatever you're passing through right now, my grace is sufficient for you. You say, but Pastor Taylor, listen, you have no idea. You have no idea of what I'm coming through at the moment. You know nothing about the pain that I bear. You know nothing about the week that I have just come through. That's true. But God knows. That's the thing. God knows. And God cares. God says to your heart this morning, child of God, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. There's sufficient grace for you today if you're suffering. Many of God's people are suffering. They're suffering physically, mentally, spiritually. And I know people today that I could take you to, and they see no light at the end of the tunnel. They're suffering. You say, Pastor, that's me. That's where I am. That's where I've been. I see no way out of the problems that I find at the present time. Well, listen, God's grace is sufficient for you. Mightn't seem like it now. And there still might be bad days to come. But in the midst of suffering, God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. In the midst of sorrowing, God's grace is sufficient. Do you know, I went to a funeral not too long ago. It wasn't in our own church, but it was connected with somebody from our own church. And I went up, and I was sitting down beside two men I didn't know, very friendly men, and they talked together and they said to me, how do you know this lady? I explained to them. And one man looked at me and he said to me, do you know, he says, in the past 2 or 3 weeks, he says, I've attended 9 funerals. 9 funerals in 3 weeks. And every single one of those families suffering. Every one of their extended families suffering. You know, sometimes when death comes to a home, as it has to all of our homes, I'm sure, it's tough to pick yourself up. It's tough to cope with the loss. And every time you go to lay flowers perhaps on the grave, or you sit down with a photograph at night when you're sitting in your own and you think of that loved one that has gone home to heaven, it's hard. God says today, my grace is sufficient for you. Not just if you're suffering, not just if you're sorrowing, but even if you're serving. Man asked me a very interesting question. He said, you're getting older now. He must be related to Brian. And he turned around and he said to me, you're doing this a long time. Do you ever get tired in the work? I said, almost every day. You're saying, you brought a man today, Brian, that's not too spiritual. But it's true. See, the work of God isn't easy. If you're a pastor pastoring the flock, if you're an elder guiding a flock, especially through days of vacancy in a church, if you're a Sunday school teacher or a Bible class worker, and you've been doing it for a lifetime and you see little fruit, the easiest thing in the world is to say, I'll opt out and let somebody else do it. Don't opt out. Keep going. You keep doing what God has committed to you. Do it faithfully. And you say, how? Because my grace is sufficient for you. Many years ago, I remember I was put into a situation I didn't want to be in, and I was just a young Christian. And a man came to me one day, said, I'm going to ask you a question. I says, well, what is it? He said, would you come along? And he said, would you teach the young fellas in the band how to drum so we can get the band out for the 12th? I'd just been saved a few months. I thought, should I? Should I not? But then one of them was my wife's brother, and she said, you should. And I went and I picked those young men up once a week. And I always went early. And before the hall was open and the rest of the band had gathered, Here are four young men sitting in my car, and I'm talking to them about Jesus. Talked every week. And then it came for the time for the men to go out on the road by themselves, and I hadn't seen them again for years. In fact, this young man I haven't seen yet. But one day he was sitting in a meeting with somebody from my family. And somebody said to him about, "I hear you're saved." He says, "Yes." He says, "You know, the first time I heard the gospel was sitting in the back of John's car. Years later, I didn't even know till that night." You say to me, "But John, listen, I'm seeing very little fruit in my Sunday school class." Well, remember this, they're passing through. You'll not teach them till they're 15, 20, or 35. Do what you do now and keep doing it. Because God's grace is sufficient for you. And I'm telling you this, there'll be people rise up in days to come and thank God for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Whatever you're facing today, remember this, God's grace is sufficient. First time I heard this hymn I'm going to quote was way back years ago when a young girl came to the first church I was in, and she came with Torch Trust for the Blind. They've now changed their name, but that's what it was then. This young girl had come to share in our meeting about herself, and when it came for her to speak at the end of the meeting, she got up and she carried with her one of these little things. You know, you press them up and down. I remember Mother doing clothes on them, but you can use them to sing. And this girl got up to sing, and this is what she sang, and she was completely blind. "He giveth more grace. When the burdens grow greater, he sendeth more strength. When the labors increase, to added affliction he addeth his mercy, to multiply trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Child of God, if you need grace this morning, he'll give it. And he'll keep on giving until your work is finished. God's love is eternal. God's grace is sufficient. God's power is omnipotent. Don't forget that. See, we're passing through days in our world where almost every continent something is happening, and near our home things are happening, and people are saying to me, "What on earth is going on?" I don't really know, but I'm happy to leave it in God's hands. And you know why? God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. And in days when you and I are being asked to look here, look there, look to him, look to her, for all that's happening in our world, the best thing you and I could do is look up. Look heavenward. Focus on God. Listen to God's word, see where God leads, and let God be God in a world of great confusion. Why do I say that? Because you see, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ask or even dare to think. One of the problems is that today we've almost brought God down to the level of his creation. No reverence, no respect, no submitting to his authority. We almost feel, and I hear people talking and praying, as if God is one of the boys. Beloved, today God is on his throne in heaven, in the place where he has always been, reigning, ruling, and in control of everything. Everything. Everything that concerns you and me and the world in which we live. Sometimes when I get discouraged and I don't understand things, I go back to Isaiah chapter 40. And you know what Isaiah says to the people of that day? He says, behold your God. Behold your God. Who is this God? He's the one who has created all things out of nothing. He's the one who sustains all things by the word of his power. He's the one who sits enthroned upon the universe. He's the one who causes kingdoms to rise and to fall. He said, but Pastor, it's so discouraging. Where will it end up? Well, go to the end of your Bible and you'll find there where it'll all end up. Hallelujah. The Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Folks, today keep your eyes on God. There is no greater power than him. There is no greater authority than his. Sometimes we tend to look to men for answers. And even in our day and generation, chaos and confusion politically, and we're looking for somebody to sort this out and somebody to sort that out. Listen. Today, look to God. For he has already everything sorted out. And we must trust him. And you can delight yourself in that. God's love is eternal. God's grace is sufficient. God's power is omnipotent. God's provision is abundant. Delight yourself in that too, and I'm just going to say this in passing. I remember I used to go and see an elderly lady many years ago in my first church. And this lady was a widow. She was well up in years. She used to sit every morning when I would have come in. She would have been praying. And I just said to her, Ms. McConnell, you're busy in prayer this morning again. She said, yes, I'm just thanking God for what he gives me. She said, nothing. Very little. But she remembered the goodness of God every single day. Child of God today, delight yourself in him. For how good is the God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend. You and I can sing with the words of Wordsworth's hymn today. O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to thee all praise and glory be. How shall we show our love to thee, who givest all, breath to our bodies, food on our table, rest to our minds, the list is endless, and God does it all. I'm running through this, number five, God's promises cannot be broken. You can delight yourself in that. See, if God has said it, he will do it. If God says it, he will do it. That same little lady I told you about sitting down, she had a promise box. I never saw a promise box in my life. And I used to go and see her, and what I loved about that wee lady, she looked like my grandmother. And she looked like my mother. She always had a wee apron on and two pockets. And one day she says to me, Pastor, did you ever see a promise box? I said, no. And she went over to the windowsill and she lifted this little thing about that size, about that deep. She says, that's my promise box. And she opened the lid of it. And inside were loads of wee scrolls, all nicely rolled up. And she says to me, listen to the promise God gave me today. She pulled it out and she read it. She says, I read a promise from God every day from that promise box. And I remember saying to her, Ms. McConnell, listen, that's a good thing to do. But don't you forget that God's word is full of exceeding great and precious promises for every day, for every circumstance, for every moment of life. And beloved, keep going through the word of God because God has promises that cannot be broken, and you can delight yourself in that. And here's the last one very quickly. You can delight yourself in the fact that God's providences are wise. Do you ever get to the stage in life where sometimes you just sit down and you say to yourself, why did God bring me this way? Why did God allow this to happen to me? See, that's a big question. Especially when you find yourself in a place where you never thought you might be. Where a marriage is broken. Where a family has fallen apart. And you find yourself in that place asking yourself the question, why me? Why now? Why does God allow this to happen? You and I need to remember today, as for God, his ways are perfect. Doesn't mean they're easy. Doesn't mean that we won't have setbacks. Doesn't mean, as someone prayed in the prayer meeting already this morning, that we're not going to have to go through all kinds of experiences in life. But you know what it means? It means today that wherever you and I are, he knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. Every step, every trial, every tear, every sadness, every mountain to climb, he knows the way that I take. One day we'll look back and we'll know the truth of the words we so often sing, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? David says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You say, Pastor, I don't find much in these days to delight myself in. Well, God's love is eternal. Nothing will ever separate us from that love. God's grace is sufficient. He'll always give us the grace to cope. God's power is omnipotent. There's nothing too difficult for him. God's provision is abundant. He will withhold no good thing from them that love him. God's promises cannot be broken, and you have his word on that. And God's providences are wise. Don't try to work out the whys and the wherefores. Just trust God. Walk with him. He knows the way that we take. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today that even though there are many things to discourage us about life, we thank you that we can delight ourselves in the Lord. You've been so good, so faithful. And Father, we realize there have been times when we've found it tough, but your grace has always been sufficient for us. Father, we believe that not only today, but all our days, that grace will continue to be sufficient. And right through until you call us home. And even then, nothing can separate us from the love of God and Christ. So encourage our hearts today. Focus our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts heavenward to the God who reigns in heaven and on earth, and who never abandons his people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together the closing hymn, 623. Number 623. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let's stand and sing this together. Father, wherever you find us just now, and whatever we're facing just now, we pray that each one of us might know and feel that underneath and round about us are the everlasting arms of God, that you'll help us to press on, to keep looking up, and to keep looking on to the end. For we have a great God, and one in whom we can find delight this morning. For those who leave us, take them safely home. For those of us who wait around the Lord's table, we ask for God's blessing to be upon us as we meet to remember the Lord in his own appointed way. All these things we ask, giving thanks in the Savior's precious name.